This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Second hour here of the program today, and we'll invite phone calls as well. We have a lot of territory, hopefully we can cover in the next hour with our guest Matt Johnson, and our number is 800-313-9443. That's the number toll free to call in. Also, I have a question that's written into me, Matt, and it has to do with I guess your statement having to do with not voting. And I guess they said in so many words to summarize it, then how is the system supposed to function if there are no voting machines or there's no voting and no election? And that's the question addressed to you.
Well, that's, he answered his own question. I'm trying to make it not function. Well, my job, I see my job as delegitimizing this regime. I have no interest in seeing it survive. Voting is a statement that you accept the regime as it is, that you accept the fact that private corporations control these guys. It's the media who decides who gets on the ballot, who's electable and who's not. If they ignore a candidate, he's finished. I saw it in the 1992 primaries, what they did to Paul Tsongas, Pat Buchanan.
Ross Perot, the whole list of them, yeah.
Well, Perot and Trump, they had their own money.
Well, I know, but still they were marginalized and they were diminished in character. And there were smear campaigns against them. It doesn't matter. If you're not kosher approved, then you're not electable. And I think many people understand that. But again, they'll come back with the same refrain. But the lesser of two evils is still evil. Well, we heard that with Jimmy Carter. Anybody but Carter. We heard that, and so they said, well, let's have Ted Kennedy in the primary. And Ted Kennedy called Carter a liar, and Carter called Kennedy a liar, and I said, I agree with both of them. And the thing is, what's the alternative? So in the 1980 election, we got the actor, Ronald Reagan. Now we got another actor, another celebrity playhouse guy. And, you know, it doesn't matter. They're all installed. They are not elected. They're installed. And that was the case with Roosevelt in 1933. Well, and every subsequent election, there were fake elections, fake Republican opposition, basically ensuring the Democrat Party would be controlled. So these people, look, they control basically the whole system.
What people need to learn, and it's not penetrating here. Politicians and the state don't have power. The American government couldn't function for 5 minutes without credit from the big bank.
You're absolutely saying what I've been saying for years.
They're not the issue. Corporations are not subject to the Constitution. They're protected by the Constitution.
Right.
There's nothing that they can't do. You know, it was Amazon, not the government, that threw out all their right-wing books from the list. I mean, these are the people, and organizations like Bilderberg and everything else are where these groups come together and decide on policy. That's why they're so important. These meetings are so important. Politicians don't matter. Politicians don't have power. Whether it be the Supreme Court or the bureaucracy, the money that they need to function. The average bill coming before Congress is, you know, between 500 and 1,000 pages. Now, you have a congressman who is campaigning all the time, is doing constituent service, is going back and forth from D.C. to his home. They're not reading this. Very few people even know who writes this. I know who writes these things. I mean, these are think tanks and that are financed by the elite. I mean, the laws are written by corporations for their own interests. This is capitalism. They've created the system, and the distinction between public and private is non-existent. Right. And now it's becoming more blatant with military forces that are mercenaries, privatizing institutions like post office and so many government services are now being privatized and farmed out to other groups. Again, not subject to the Constitution. We don't even
the very counting of ballots and the so-called electioneering outsourced, you know, to other countries, Spain and so forth. That computer generated imagery, computer generated voting, computer changes and software programs that control the votes and the the outcome of the election. I mean, it's preposterous. What you're saying is what I said on this program many years ago, and I admit it. You know, I participated in the Ron Paul phenomenon with one of our friends here, and I did it just to prove the point that you have no control, absolutely no control of this country any longer. Now, I believe, of course, there are divine reasons, biblically stated reasons, as I said before, why America is going through the Isaiah 3:4 statute, and that is that when we need princes to rule over us, as Isaiah said, God will send us babies and fools and children. And we have babies and fools and children, and we're getting our just deserts because of our sins against him, our idolatry, and all of the things that we do in rewarding the evil fig tree instead of the good fig. So, anyway, be that as it may, now is the time to drop a bombshell, a little bombshell. You remember Lou Barletta. He was the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And you ought to know because you're in Pennsylvania, aren't you now?
Yeah, I'm in Johnstown, yeah.
Okay. Lou Barletta came on this program many years ago. We had him on. We were discussing this whole subject of running for office and immigration. And we're talking about 9/11. And he was the mayor, and now he's running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Well, lo and behold, wouldn't you know, the bombshell was dropped on the Communist Nitwit Network, the Mossad-owned CNN, that Lou Barletta is connected to groups that deny the Holocaust and the newspapers, and he even claims that Israel might have been behind 9/11. And who are they fingering? Why, the American Free Press, the AFP Barnes Review type of fanatics who actually believe that there are conspiracies outside of the so-called Arab hijackers who commandeered 19 or 20 or 50 planes or what have you and flew them through buildings. Well, Lou Barletta is now getting a sample of what you just described. He is perceived as having those skeletons in his closet. And who trotted them out? Why, of course, the Mossad and the CNN, appendage of the Mossad, which now has said he must give account for those statements that he made to the American Free Press in the interviews because of what he suggested that was the case with 9/11. And furthermore, because he has suggested, because of his links to the American Free Press, he doesn't believe in the so-called Holocaust story. There you are. There you have it. Proof of who controls the media and how the media will nip in the bud any political entity or organization that might pose a threat to them. Large or small, local level, statewide level, or nationally, the Cosa Nostra is in control of the media. And the media, the private corporations, you're right, control the governmental policy. Now, I've been saying this for years. A lot of people don't like it, but I've been telling them the hard truth. There's the proof. Okay, well, I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's an opinion. I don't think it's deniable. The press is where Americans get their information. If they ignore a candidate, he's finished. If they attack a candidate, he's done. One quick example.
Well, there are exceptions to that, of course, and that's Jim Trafficante, who became more popular in Ohio until they went after him legally. But okay, go ahead. Give us an example.
The trafficking case, you know, he was a Democrat. He was, you know, and the Cleveland newspaper, Cleveland Plain Dealer at the time, was fairly conservative. Yeah. So he came in under the radar, and he was also a populist rather than, you know, some Holocaust denier or something like that. so I don't know. I mean, he may or may not be an exception. One quick example, 92 primary campaign where I was involved, didn't vote, but I was involved. Paul Tsongas, senator from Massachusetts.
Yes.
Won the Democratic vote in New Hampshire. The press, he was a conservative Democrat, a populist. I like the guy. The press went after him. Well, he's had cancer in the past. Well, you know, he's just a regional candidate. No one's ever heard of the guy outside of New England. He wins a bunch of others. They say he's a regional candidate. He has no chance of being elected. Then he wins Colorado. And he wins Iowa. He's a regional candidate. He can't be elected. Then they promote a nobody that no one ever heard of before named Bill Clinton. That suddenly, this is our man. Paul Tsongas was forgotten. And Bill Clinton becomes a nominee. Paul Tsongas was forgotten despite the fact that he was dominating the early part of the primary season. So I watched it happen myself, where they use a regional, his illness and the regional candidate thing over and over, no matter. He wins Colorado, and they keep repeating the same slogan. I was reading 3 or 4 newspapers a day at the time, you know, because I was an idiot. But I remember very, very well how this operated. And they just harped on this, and then they found Bill Clinton out of nowhere, and who wasn't even at New Hampshire, and he becomes a nominee. That is solely and exclusively, at least at first, from media exposure. Media exposure means donations and money, and he became president. So it's not our opinion. This is how it goes.
That's why this nonsense about Russiagate and all this meddling and so forth and so on is actually a comedy. It's a tragic comedy, but it's a comedy because the whole political system in this country, from top to bottom, from the local level up to the top, has the corrupting influence of meddling by the synagogue of Satan, by the Cosa Nostra, in every aspect of American life. Now, I've given this example before on my program, and I do it again because it has to sink in, like you said. It has to sink in to the empty cranium out there, people who still delude themselves with nonsensical appetites for voting. They have to understand that in my case here, I can document each case where we've had people running, not even for federal congressional office, but announcing they would run for statewide office. And invariably, they have to pass the litmus test. And what is the litmus test? Well, the litmus test is they must say they support the state of Israel, lock, stock, and barrel. They support the murder of the Palestinians. They support ethnic cleansing. They support whatever it is that the media says is acceptable, and therefore they are qualified to run for office. I mean, that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about. Now, I'm making it a little bit more embellished only because I'm trying to emphasize that the bottom line is, if you take a stand against Israel, the state of Israel, not real Israel, you take a stand against the mafia, the Mossad, the Cosa Nostra, they will use every single trick in the book, every political influence, every financial cornerstone that they have to crush your head. And that's what they've done. I can cite an instance in the legislature. I can cite another one in state government where they were either marginalized or they were pushed aside or they were called anti-Semite. They were called bigots, racist. And like you said, invariably the voting machines proved they just couldn't be elected. Of course, they have no political interference here. But in any event, that's the point I'm trying.
During the campaign, this last presidential campaign, other measures of popularity, like likes on Facebook or Twitter, subscribers, Donald Trump had more than double what Hillary Clinton had. Hillary Clinton's rallies were empty. Now, I began reading foreign polls of American voters. I remember one from Egypt, one from Indonesia, Russia. Hillary was polling the entire time no more than 10-11%. And I think one of the reasons is that Democrats wanted Bernie and were pissed that she stole the nomination. She almost beat Trump in the popular vote. I don't think that's possible. She was polling very low numbers outside of America right up until the very end. That it can't be that she, you know, won almost equal with Trump. I don't believe that. That's not possible. You can't have empty rallies, very little support, even from your own party, and then have that kind of outcome at the polls. the media had to demonize Trump like I've never heard a man being demonized before in my life, to get Democrats to actually vote. Because, again, they were excited about Bernie. I don't agree with Bernie, but I respect them. I don't respect Hillary. So there is no way that she got that many votes. It's simply not possible. But, you know, unless these poll numbers were totally fraudulent, which I don't believe. But, Rick, even if the media were fair, even if the system was fair and the vote counting process was fair, it still wouldn't make any difference. If you're a first-term congressman, your job is to get coffee for the major senior members. You know, you'll talk big to your constituency back home, go to Washington and be told what to do. The whips will dominate you. You get the committee assignments that the party wants and not what you want. You know, politicians simply don't have power. Many government functions are privatized regardless. So even if it was fair, our job is to look at where the power lies, and that would be the private sector. One exception to this, I want to say, is the Supreme Court, because they're unelected and they serve for life. Although I do believe there's probably other ways that they are pressured. So even if a good law is passed, the Supreme Court could always simply knock it down. They are the most powerful branch of government. And they're powerful because they're not elected. So that would be an exception to this, but they can't make laws. They can only reject them.
Well, so, theoretically, but that's not true either, you know. Let's take some calls. Let's go to the phone now, 1-800-313-9443. Our first caller is Joe from Rhode Island. Hello, fellow Rhode Islander Joe. Hello, Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Richard. You hear me?
Okay, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, I got a little laryngitis, so I'll try to talk a little louder. Matt, I heard you say earlier that you were of a Catholic background.
Well, I was born that way. I came from a secular family. I converted to Orthodoxy in grad school.
Orthodoxy with the Catholic Church?
No. I went to the Serbian Orthodox Church in grad school sometime.
I see.
And there's no, you know, believe it or not, there really isn't a whole lot in common between Catholicism and Orthodoxy, despite appearances. So,
I see.
And it was a long struggle, but that's I'm home, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, the issue I'd like to bring up is that when I was a kid, I'm 70 years old now. When I was a kid, I used to go to a church in Rhode Island, and you were standing room only. You couldn't even get a seat. Today, these same churches in Rhode Island, they've closed so many of them. There's one town in Rhode Island, one city in Rhode Island. They have 32 churches, and they're down to 3 churches now that are actually operating.
Well,
somebody asked me this morning, what is wrong that this is happening? Nobody's going to church, especially the young children, the young people. They don't want anything to do with a church. And they said, well, this is happening with all the different religions in the state. They're all losing population.
Well, Joseph, let me comment on that. Of course, you know, that's the mainline churches. You're absolutely right. Yet the traditionalist groups are growing rapidly. These are usually, you know, not in the mainstream. They're often very divided amongst themselves. But I believe that your statement is because churches are failing. The mainline churches are failing because of liberalism. There's no point to them. Why go to church if everyone goes to heaven? It doesn't matter. Traditionalist groups, and among the Catholics, the SSPX and groups like that, Orthodox, the old calendars, these are growing. And these churches have nothing but young people in them. Young people want that kind of traditionalist, ancient alternative to the modern world. And the mainline churches are failing to do that. They're trying to be relevant, and they sound ridiculous trying to be relevant.
Yeah.
All right, we have a break. We have a break, Joe, so if you want to hang on, you can hang on to the line, and we'll come back to you and other callers here as well. All right, Rick Adams with Mott Johnson, and we will return in just a moment.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, and we're back now, and I think, Joe, you're still on the line with us?
Well, I wanted to add to what Joseph said. I mean, he's right, of course, but he's referring to mainline churches. I mean, these are useless people. They're part of the ruling class. They're scared to death of but the traditionalist groups are growing. The problem with them is that they're deeply divided amongst themselves, and that's why they're stymied in their growth, so... You're right, Joe, but you're referring to mainline people.
This fellow, Matt, he persisted and he asked me, he said, what can we do to change this and turn this around so that young people are interested? And my answer to myself was either one or two things. Either you go back to the scriptures and dig deeper into the scriptures and teach the children the past, the entire past from Genesis, who their relatives were, who their forefathers were. Tell them the real truth. Tell them where the 10 lost tribes of Israel are today.
You know, Joseph, when you teach them these kind of things, and I've done it myself, you see these people, their eyes light up. It's so edgy and radical. It's more radical than anything they've ever heard. You're exactly correct.
Yeah, they're afraid. Joe,
I understand your point.
Okay, Joe, we have to move along, okay? So let's go to the next call now. We have a full bank of calls, all right? Thank you for your call. All right, let's go on to Jeff in Georgia now. Jeff, you're up on the program with Matt Johnson.
Yes, it's nice to talk to y'all. I called you last week or week before, yeah. Rick, but I think there's a lot of hope out there. I wouldn't get too despaired. I think we're on the verge of a massive reform because it's all going to come to a head. You know, I studied the Kennedy assassination for years, and, you know, I concluded the you had Jewish interest at the heart of it. I was really flabbergasted at the amount of control that they have over the media and the legal system and the political system. Here's why I called, and I wanted to ask you all the possibility of this. We could flip $1 trillion a year in this country and make it to be used in much better purposes than it is now. We're paying $400+ billion on the interest. We need to cancel much of the $20 trillion debt to the federal government because it was loaned through that Federal Reserve System. You had the major financial institutions loaning money they did not have because of fractional banking. We could print U.S. notes like Kennedy started, and we could raise the reserve rate and keep the money supply constant and away from inflation. But we need to cancel that debt with Mexico, Latin America, even Western Europe together. I mean, that's $50+ trillion.
Jeff is absolutely correct.
And this is, you know, I don't want to call it revolution because I don't want to sound like I'm promoting any violence. Absolutely not. This is massive reform. This has to be done. Once we do that, we'll start seeing the power start coming back from the 1% back to the rest of us.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that all of our problems are just politically based and economically based, or do you believe that there's something more to it than that?
I don't know. Were you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. You have to go after their power, and their power emanates from money. You know, you could look at the Kennedy thing. You had Jewish interest behind it, but you had WASP and others pulling the trigger.
Well, they're the enablers. Yes, I understand that.
That will go on forever.
Rick, no, it won't go on forever. There has to be an end to it.
You have to go after their money. Okay, no, secondly. No,
no. Jeff is 100% correct.
Once that power transfers. No.
All right, okay. All right, we made your point. Thanks for your call. We got a break again. So we'll come back and we'll toss that around a little bit, too. All right, more calls ahead. Rick Adams on Center.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we're back again in this last half hour of today's program. Boy, time is just flying. I just quickly, had to end the last call because of the break, but logistically, he's right about economics and introducing the money, and that's, of course, what some of the people that we have been affiliated with certainly doing with public banking. But my point was that you cannot repair the foundation and the roof of the house that's leaking if you're going to start with the roof and not the foundation. If you have a termite infestation, you've got to really start at the beginning and the bottom. And the problem is we have no family up in this country today. There is no family societal unit. There is no fabric that holds the glue together. There is no glue that holds the fabric together. There is no freedom. We're rapidly seeing our streets turned into drug mills, violence everywhere. We're seeing America fall apart at the seam. And just treating it on a monetary basis or political is my point. Is just totally irrelevant and does not address the cause. So that's the only part I wanted to add.
Well, I like what Jeff said. The only thing that made me wince a little bit was the notion that the present government has any capacity at any time to tell the banks what to do. It's never going to happen. As a revolutionary state alone can has that capacity. The U.S. government is financed by the banks. It's simply a bodyguard for the major financiers.
The entire economy of this country is driven by debt, and debt is bondage. That is bondage to the banks. Okay, let's go on to our next call. Kent in West Virginia is next. Hello, Kent. Kent, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Rick. Yeah, hi. Interesting you went back to Jimmy Carter. Oddly enough, the two political races that I followed most intensely were Jimmy Carter in 76 and then this thing in 2016, 40 years later, and the parallels between then and now was incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
15 candidates on one side, and then against the, you know, all of them expecting to win because the incumbent was, I mean, the outgoing administration was so unpopular, and out of the pack in '76 came this goober, and the media just latched onto him and just created him really out of nothing. And if you remember, Rick, now maybe you don't, but I do. I remember constantly they would say, "Can he win, Jimmy Carter? Can he win? Can he win?" Ginning up the excitement. And conversely, now when Ron Paul was running, the mantra was, "He can't win. He can't win. He can't win." So there's an example of what the media does. And of course, the media again created, you know, this thing, Trump. It's the same phenomenon, you know, out of this 15 or 20, you know, oddballs, you know, suit and tie guys, comes this, whereas before in 76, it was this guy was grinning, you know, and talking like this, and now you got this guy with the red hat and the hair and everything, so it's a...
Well, with Rand Paul, too, if you remember on NBC, MSNBC Online, it was Chuck Todd who said that I wish Ron Paul would just go away when he was winning all of the polling. He was winning all of the inside polling. They shut the poll right down because he was just forging ahead. So that goes to show you the various ways in which the commentators, the so-called news reporters, can just engineer the thinking of people. And that's what we've been saying on this program.
Let me add to what the point that he made. I really like the parallel 2016 and 1972,
mm-hmm.
because in both cases, the left was humiliated. In both cases, the left vowed revenge, and they got it in both areas. You know, McGovern didn't even win his own state, and this was 72 was a very ideological. It was left versus right, and in 2016, the left poured all of its resources into defeating Trump, and it's one of the reasons I have some optimism because despite the threats and the attacks. And illegality, he still won. And he won by a far larger margin than we realized. So I think that the caller is absolutely right, but the parallel between McGovern and Hillary Clinton is very, very close, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I agree. There are many parallels.
And about 25 or, you know, probably close to 30 years ago now, I lived in Ireland, and I became acquainted with a guy who was had been an editor at the New York Daily News, and one reason or other we were talking, and he said something to me. He said he was speaking about the election at the time. It was a little bit before that, Dukakis, and he came out and said that we kind of thought that Americans were ready for an intellectual president. So in other words, they were sitting around, and this guy was no genius or anything. You know, he's a likable guy, and he said, "Well, you know, who are we going to favor?" Well, they're ready for an intellectual president. They figured Dukakis was an intellectual candidate, so that's who they threw their weight behind. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty amazing how that was quite arbitrary, you know, and pretty insightful.
They being ready for something means that they've been conditioned sufficiently. But there's certainly been, you know, Richard Nixon was probably the last president who actually really was knowledgeable. Woodrow Wilson was a university professor. Their definition of intellectual is very eccentric.
Okay, thank you for your contribution, Kent. A pleasure. And I guess Jim from Chicago dropped off. So we have, Lark next, and then Barb will follow Lark. Okay, Lark, come on up.
Oh, hi there, Rick.
Yes.
And Matt. First of all, please forgive me, Rick. I missed certain segments of the first hour, so I hope before the end of the broadcast you'll air how to read Matt's writings and that sort of stuff. But I want to confirm that, are you the same Matt Johnson that wrote The Legacy of Marxism in 2012?
No.
Different. There's so many Matt Johnsons on there. But yes, you are the one that...
Raphael Johnson. Yeah, my full name is Matthew Raphael Johnson, and that's my professional... That's my actual real name, but that's the name that I put on everything. So, I'm not familiar with the... What's the thesis of the article? Because, you know, my memory is terrible. I don't remember anything. So,
you remember more than some of us.
Not to worry. This guy is an academic and a writer. He wrote The Legacy of Marxism, Contemporary Challenges, Conflicts... And
what was the gist of what he said,
Lon? Oh, yeah. That if that's the title, then no, it's definitely not me.
Yeah, it's unimportant. Really, what I want to focus on is, let's see. I understand that you have an association with Matt Heimbach, Traditionalist Workers' Party. Is that correct?
Well, I'm an Orthodox priest in the Russian Orthodox Church, as well as an academic. I baptized Matthew Heimbach, and I know him extremely well. And his family, and we're very close. Yes.
And is he not an advocate for communitarianism, to your knowledge?
He's a national socialist.
I see, because you know, in reading of his website, he advocates for communitarianism, and you know, I wanted to reach out to people like yourself and to him to find out why that is, and in particular, since. You know, it's the so-called powers that be that are embracing this thing called communitarianism, particularly as it's connected directly to communitarian law.
Wait, you're confusing
basically. Pardon me?
You're confusing collectivism and communitarianism. They're two very, very different phenomena.
Well, I don't think so. I've been researching this stuff since 2004. You know, I see communitarianism.
I like a lot of
what you say.
One at a time.
You know, first of all, the futility in the voting process. I liked what you said about Paul Tsongas, because I think I shared your views at the time. And, I mean, I like Paul Tsongas. I remember.
People don't remember. You know, he died recently.
I suppose my confusion is this advocacy for communitarianism. Because it's not just a political ideology or a school of thought which is being embraced by this so-called government. Because the government, and I agree with you, does not exist. At least as Americans like Rick and myself and perhaps you grew up thinking government was. It's all been privatized, as we know. And there's really no separation between the so-called public sector and the private sector anymore. Because, frankly, under the Clinton administration, everything was privatized. Everything is site. It was called reinventing government.
Yes.
But what I want to leave you with, and perhaps you, invite your response, not to belabor the communitarian point, is there is an article that anyone could read on the Internet called How the Federal Reserve Bought the Economics Profession.
Yeah.
How the Federal Reserve Bought the Economics. Yeah, when you read that, and then the writer, I think his name is Patrick Grimm, he posits that this is how all the professions have been co-opted. So when we think about who's leading the charge into this nightmarish totalitarian future, what I term techno-slavery, we're talking about the most well-educated amongst us. Doctors, lawyers, judges, people with university degrees. These are the people that are probably the most heavily brainwashed out of all of us. And your thoughts, and then I'll jump off the phone.
Well, it's you know, you could belabor the point. It's an extremely important point. Individualism is a result of the Enlightenment. It's an artificial construct. Human beings are communal by very definition. We can't live on our own like a cat can. The family is the primary unit, not the individual. Up until the Industrial Revolution, everything was based on communities. whether it be guilds or villages or whatever. That this is nations, of course, is the ultimate community. The individual is an invention. There is no such thing as an individual. Everything we do comes from the past, comes from the community that we're born and raised with, including our language. But the concept of the individual as this artificial, pathological conception makes sense for marketing and for capitalism, because to isolate the individual from other forms of loyalty means that he is then dependent on the consumer regime that we're all forced to live under. The difference I'm trying to get here is that collectivism is artificial. Collectivism is when the state takes these isolated people and forces them into one unit, like in Soviet Union. Communities are natural. This is how we've always been up until recently. And that's the big difference. Communities are natural. Communities are normal. It's part of natural law, whether it be villages or nations. Collectivism is what you had in the USSR. It's done by force and really only for the ends of the state or some other powerful entity. So there's a huge difference between the two, and one is natural, the other is not. That was the point I was trying to make.
Well, and I agree, I appreciate that. And, however, I think this word community, just like this word sustainable and many other examples of what I term communitarian code speak or buzzwords, they've been co-opted. And, frankly, anytime I hear the word community, a big red flag goes up.
What I would
suggest today is that if we look closely, and this is what Rick addresses almost always every week, if we address the confluence of humanism and scientism, what we come to is this thing that is prominent in policy circles and in the field of bioethics, for example, and it's that word probabilism. And it posits that in the absence of scientific certainty, probability will do. And this is the weapon that is being wielded against us as it comes to the secularization of the society. And we must understand that the communitarian's definition of rights is not the same as most Americans were brought up believing, because they do not believe that rights exist in the absence of duties and responsibilities. It's just that simple. And we can see that in the Humanist Manifesto, the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights,
and
the various Geneva Conventions today. And so this is what's happening to the world. We're being
played. You're right. Summed it up very well, Lark. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a great comment.
Thank you very much for the time.
I appreciate it. I don't accept traditionalism, medievalism, royalism, all these things that I love and that I am, we reject everything that the Enlightenment has. Rights and duties.
Matt, I don't mean to interrupt you, but for sake of time, today what we have everywhere in this country, in my state, your state, we have this violence. We hear about opioid crises, and it's all fake. I'm not saying people aren't addicted and committing suicide. No, it's all the result of this transhumanism, this communitarianism, this socialism, this Marxism, this New Ageism movement that has supplanted Christianity. And we are reaping what God says we would reap. Now, this is the reality. The reality is the state is God, and God is gone. This is the God is dead postscript. You know what I'm saying? This is what they're doing to us. This is what they have done to us. It's a totally different upside-down world, and this is why people are scratching their wooden heads and saying, what happened to America while you slept? You know, John T. Flynn. While you slept, he summed it up in his book very well.
The new pagan pantheon are celebrities. They fit exactly the old list of deities in the ancient world.
Sure,
and they have the same function.
The George Looney's of the world. And
that is a religion. That is a religion.
The scum. Yeah. All right, Barb in Florida before the break. Hello, Barb. Come on up.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. Happy New Year. Hope it's a better year. Here in Florida, our legislature is in session. We have a bill, House Bill 2791, and that's to get funding for the Jewish day schools for their security. Would you believe that? Whatever happened to separation of church and state, they're so worried about?
Well,
and
I've heard...
this is Rick Adams' think tank here.
Well, Barb, I've heard of that. Florida's not the only state that has that. As I said early on, the double standard is they don't, you know, they know it's a double standard and they don't care. They have no interest in, you know, what happened to churches. Well, that was a weapon that they used against us, but they throw it away in this particular case. They have no, you know, power is what they want. Pointing out the double standard isn't going to do anything.
They forget the instance last year, if you recall, Barb and Matt, in which there was an attack on Jewish community centers and there were threats of swastikas everywhere. Come to find out, the guy they arrested was an Israeli who was actually doing all of the threatening and all of the attacks. And this follows a long line of hoaxes that they have perpetrated from within their own ranks.
Can you imagine more people being so irrational as to paint a swastika on the side of a they know that just means more power for them. They're exactly the only ones who benefit.
They're the only ones. You're right, Matt. Okay, thank you very much for that call. I want to come back and see if we can bring up another question and sum up. It's an excellent show today. Thank you, Matt Johnson. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
All right, we're back. You know, folks, there's so many things I could be bringing up about this whole Russiagate probe and the falseness of it, and Rod Rosenstein, who is a key figure in the Justice Department, who I believe is one of the Israeli assets who are deliberately stirring the pot, and now even Mr. Trump has figured it out. Well, in any event, we don't have time. We don't have time to go through that. We don't have time to go through meetings coming up this week in, island resort area that will feature the Syrians and the Russians and the United States, world meddling and all of that. But what I do want to ask you on a historical note, Matt, is a question somebody wrote to me about, wanted me to bring up. That is, what is the main difference between the Menshevik Revolution in Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and how do they parallel with America today? What happened, Matt? Can you hear me, Matt?
Sorry about that. I had my microphone muted. Apologies. Okay.
Did you hear my question, though?
I did. I've given lectures on that topic. It's a great, great question.
Good.
The revolution that overthrew Tsar Nicholas II was the so-called White Revolution, or the Menshevik,
right,
led by Alexander Kerensky. This was a Masonic, vaguely liberal group that believed that the Duma or the legislature should have full power over government. Mm-hmm. They were weak, kind of like the Weimar Republic. They didn't really have an agenda. And the Bolsheviks were, on the other hand, of course, extremely radical, supported by the West, so they had tons of money. They were small in number, but they had an iron discipline that held them together as a unit, which is their great asset. Very Judaic, so they had the ethnic glue that held them together.
Yeah.
Right. And they began the civil war in Russia in 1917, 1918, and that lasted until 1921. The White Armies, remember, were Mensheviks. They wanted to return to the Duma, wanted to return to the Constituent Assembly and everything else. There were royalists and traditionalists in the White Army, but whites were not royalists. That was not their conception. The Mensheviks weren't in power long enough, really, for any kind of to see what kind of policies they were interested in. They were typical liberals. The Bolsheviks, of course, we know.
So it was almost like a softening up the process to make way for the Bolshevik hardline.
Yeah. Now, exactly correct. Whether they were, Kerensky was playing a part or not, I'm not sure. I don't think he was. But he certainly acted that way.
And that was in 1905 originally, right? When they
No. That was 1905 was an attempted revolution that failed.
The Kerensky one was when then?
1918.
Okay.
Yeah. And then 1917 and 1918, Russia pulled out of the war.
Yeah.
Which is why the West was meddling in it, but no one in the West knew what a Bolshevik was, and so they considered them centralizing great Russian nationalists, as far as they were concerned, and they needed a strong Russia to balance Germany, so they backed the Reds. They didn't know what communism was or Bolshevism. Mm-hmm. The force that intervened supported the Reds, not the Whites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The White Army wasn't given a bullet from the West. The British could have crushed the St. Petersburg Soviet in 10 minutes if they wanted to, and they didn't. They even held the Japanese off in the East. So that revolution came into existence only because of Western money. Mm-hmm. The war, I guess, is the backdrop, and which the Russians were actually winning at the time, and Germany having to split its forces and everything else. Russia knocked Austria-Hungary out of the war. When Nicholas took over, commanded the army, they threw the Germans back. And even Wilhelm had to admit that we were exhausted because of that. So it's complicated, but one is simply more radical and authoritarian than the other.
It probably would have been a far better picture, a better world, had the Germans prevailed even on that front, undoubtedly.
They're natural allies.
Yep. Unfortunately, barbarism won, and now we're reaping the consequences of it. But you know what? The time has flown, Matt. I want to thank you again. Please, let's do this a little bit sooner, okay? Very shortly again. You're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you for coming on the program.
No, thank you, Rick. You're a good friend of mine and a great radio host.
Thank you. You take care. God bless now.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, folks. Thank you all. Rick Adams, Uncensored. We'll be back, God willing, next week again. Take care.
You're listening.